Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside the Riverland Roofing Studios. I'm Ben Garrett at SpiritBen on Twitter. Riverland Roofing for all of your roofing needs. RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. The little house up top, our friends at Riverland Roofing that do so much for Ole Miss football and athletics in the NIL space, and also in supporting us at the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, the fleet of all three. Ole Miss beats in-state rival Mississippi State 26-14 to finish 9-3 on the regular season, 5-3 in the SEC, still alive for the playoff. We're going to get into all of this, but it wasn't much of a fun game, but Ole Miss has still won 4 out of the last 5 Egg Bowls, and that is something to celebrate. This used to be the game of games every single year. I remember not too long ago, less than 10 years ago, when the Egg Bowl and possibly winning it was about the only thing that Ole Miss fans could cling to as far as hope and something to root for. And yet after this win over Mississippi State for Ole Miss, it doesn't feel that way. Ole Miss went into this game needing a lot of help to get into the college football playoff, their odds under 10% after losing to Florida. So style points mattered, and Ole Miss didn't pass the look test today. They didn't. And they still need the results from the weekend. Ideally, an Auburn win over Alabama in the Iron Bowl. Clemson losing to South Carolina. Ole Miss is ranked ahead of South Carolina in the college football playoff rankings and have that impressive, still notable, significant win of 24 points at their place. And they have identical records. So all of that remains the same. And as the playoff committee has shown, it's less about losing to a good team and being competitive against a good team than just overall losses. So Ole Miss did what it needed to do, beat State in the Egg Bowl. Hopefully it is only about the result and Ole Miss gets the results in front of it. Again, a lot of things that need to happen. I've named a couple of those things, and those are just the start. But there's a very good chance that one of Ole Miss, Alabama, or South Carolina at 9-3 gets into the college football playoff. Let's hope after the Egg Bowl, or at least Ole Miss better hope after the Egg Bowl, that style points, as they have until this point, really don't matter because the Egg Bowl was ugly. Ole Miss didn't look particularly inspired, fired up. That hangover from losing to Florida looked like it was still there. The offense was awful, so bad, except for Ulysses Bentley IV. He scored an 89-yard touchdown, which stands today now as the longest run, of course, for Ole Miss this year. He's responsible, as Ulysses, for the top 2 runs for Ole Miss this year, 89 and 50. But that 89-yarder that finally breathed some life into Ole Miss, what fans have been calling for since Ole Miss has struggled to run the ball with any kind of consistency or even explosion all year. Let's see what Ulysses, who has proven it, can do. Averaged almost 6 yards a carry for his career, finally gets some run. This week was a weird week. It really was, because the number one question I was getting after Florida, even before Florida, the strange, bizarre usage of Ulysses Bentley IV. So I go to Lane's press conference on Monday, not trying to pick a fight, only to ask the questions that fans had been asking, the one question that fans had been asking: where is he if you've got nothing but bad options in the backfield? Why not go with what looks like on paper the best bad option, even if he is a step slow? And he did look less explosive than we're used to seeing. That 89-yarder, he still outran the defenders that were trying to chase him down. He used to be able to break away a little bit easier. still doesn't justify or even make sense, even when I got the answer on Monday. Not in the press conference. Lane got defensive and cited yards per carry average. If you take away the 50-yarder against LSU or something else, he had like 22 carries for 40-something yards since the LSU game. I would argue that's, and as has been proven, especially now in the Egg Bowl, and Lane has mentioned this, the real culprit here is misevaluations on the offensive line. State is a bad defense, ranks in the hundreds in most every statistical category. And yet Ole Miss couldn't run against this team either outside of an incredible individual effort. Well-blocked enough, you just give that guy, the old Ulysses Bentley, a crease, and he's gone, and he was gone in the Egg Bowl, and that really proved to be the difference. And also finding Caden Priestcorn again, who's been banged up. I know a lot of people have had questions about him. Best I know about Caden is he's been banged up. It was good to see him get that nice Ole Miss send-off. But the Ulysses Bentley answer that I got when Lane called me into his office after the presser, after it looked like a little, you know, back and forth between us, which it didn't feel that way, but I was on Cole Kublik and Greg McElroy's show this morning, and they asked me about the Ulysses stuff. Listen to what Greg McElroy said. It might as well have been Lane Kiffin. It sounded just like a lot of what we've heard from him in regards to the reasoning behind sitting Ulysses Bentley, playing other options. Here's what Greg McElroy had to say when I was on McElroy and Kublik this morning.
I know I probably wouldn't be one, and I know Cole would second this. Highest grade is great. I would take Lane's evaluation over Pro Football Focus's evaluation every time and twice on Saturday. And the problem that I have with Pro Football Focus, highest grade, how do they know what the grade should be? How do they know what the responsibility should be? So I'm not downgrading Pro Football Focus, but this whole highest graded thing, I don't know.
They watch it.
I know that there's a lot better SEC running backs than Ulysses Bentley coming back that I saw the last season. So that's my evaluation.
For sure, but like, I know that's what Lane said. That's what Lane said. But my, and then I went, okay, and he went, well, have you looked at yards per carry? You know, if you take away the 50-yarder against LSU, and I'm like, well, that's not how any of this works. And again, if it's yards per carry question, then he's leading all of your bad options. So if you have nothing but bad options, just give me the one that you really – the one time you tried him in extended action, he produced it for you against LSU, especially in the passing game as a receiver. But again, he looked me in the eye and was like, do you think we're trying to lose football games? Of course they're not.
I agree about football focus grading.
It's just my whole thing is you're talking to fans and they can only go by certain measures and analytics, right? They got normal everyday things. So if you say football isn't complicated and they go, okay, if it's not complicated, where's the good running back? I don't think that's an unfair question for shareholders now that have poured their money into your team. And again, this isn't partial at all. Lane has been awesome. He's been awesome to deal with me and all those kind of things. It was just the one question that I was getting over and over and over again. And I didn't mean to go in there and start a fight, but that's the only – and that wasn't the intent. I didn't think it happened that way anyway. But I walked into his office. First thing he says is, you seem so angry. I'm like, that's probably just the social anxiety, man. I'm sorry. I'm not angry at all. That's not what it is. It's just this is the question. Say, does it make sense? But now it does to me at least because Lane and I thank him for it. Went the extra mile to at least provide the best explanation he could. Because at the end of the day, all coaches are going to step up to a public podium and never throw a player under the bus, no matter if it's good, bad, indifferent. They're never going to, unless they're Hugh Freeze, God bless him. I love Hugh. He's been awesome. But, like, Lane's not going to do what Ulysses, if he doesn't believe in the evaluation anymore, believe in the player anymore, that he did to Peyton Thorne, right? He's just not going to do that. So that's the best I got. I have exhausted all Ulysses Bentley options trying to figure out that puzzle, and I'm done with that one. I'm closing the book on that one as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he hasn't told me anything. We've done four of their games. We've asked him about it, too. I have no more information than you have, but I have watched it, and I don't think Ulysses Bentley came in shape, and I don't think he's been able to get out of the doghouse because he didn't come back in shape. That's my thought process, and that's my evaluation. That is not coming from Lane. That's my own personal evaluation. So that's all I got.
Ball knowledge more than mine. Yeah, I'm about your ball knowledge more than me. So I defer to you, my friend. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. I really don't know. I can't speak to it. All I know is that I know it's hard to get out of the doghouse. And when you're not producing, it's even harder.
Clown on Pro Football Focus ratings all you want, rankings all you want. At the end of the day, I said this to Lane specifically. I have no problem saying it. He wouldn't deny it either. I looked him in the face and said, either the smartest or dumbest thing you have said all year is that football is really not that complicated. You're right, and I give you credit for that. But what that does then is make obvious questions that much more pressing. Like, if you have nothing but bad options at running back, why is Ulysses Bentley not playing? And this week, after all of that, learning about how he's a step slow and the pro scouts that come to practice, they don't have these same questions. They see it too. The turf toe injury in the spring required surgery. He did report, as Greg mentioned, and I've been reporting since, I want to say, the last couple of months. He did arrive 25 pounds overweight in the summer. And I think the true answer here, because I wasn't at the postgame press conference. That's for Chuck and Jake. I'll go on Monday if there is one. But I think what's obvious now is not that necessarily Ulysses Bentley was all that much worse. He is a step slower. You can see that. I'll give you that, Lane. But really, I think what we've learned over the course of this season, and specifically with the usage of Ulysses Bentley, when you get in the doghouse with Lane Kiffin, it's really, really hard to get out of it. Same thing with being one of his guys, because it doesn't really hold water in terms of production and usage and all these things when you're trying to excuse away not playing Ulysses Bentley when Micah Pettis is starting every single time at right tackle, even despite the fact that he's the exact same player today as he was last year and the year before. He cannot run block without holding. Penalties are idiotic on his part. He does a lot of good things, but there's no accountability, like consistent accountability, when it comes to playing time, snap share, and all those things. So what did we learn first and foremost from Ole Miss's 26-14 win over Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl? Ulysses Bentley should have been playing a long time ago.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297. Or visit riverlandroofing.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's okay to admit it, Lane. It's okay to admit it now. Ulysses Bentley should have been playing. Even if he was in your doghouse, even if he isn't what he was, he's better than anything else you've had. Ulysses was announced as a starter for the Egg Bowl, and then Micah Davis started again, and Micah Davis looked like a converted wide receiver in his second week at running back. Meanwhile, Ulysses Bentley, with a terrible offensive line for run blocking, was able to find some wiggle room and provide the game-winning play, that 89-yarder. That now is the longest run in the SEC this year. He finished with 20 carries for 136 yards, the touchdown, for a 6.8 yards per carry average. So he was Ulysses Bentley, as we have known him until this year, when he inexplicably never played. And Lane told me that it was purely a football reason, and I really appreciated the extra mile he went to bring him into his office to talk about this specifically. And I want that to be clear, because it was, we don't get him in those types of settings, our local media. We only get him in post-game stuff or weekly press conference stuff. He'll go on Colin Cowherd, and he'll go on, you know, pick your show, Dan Patrick, not knocking it at all. That's his prerogative. But that's the only reason I was asking that question to begin with. He's welcome to come on this podcast, so is Ulysses, and talk about this stuff at length. But I have no reason to doubt Lane Kiffin's reasoning behind it. He says it's purely a football reason. Okay. Now we can officially say after he got 20 carries, the most he's gotten all year, and produced 136 yards, most of it coming on an 89-yard run, Ulysses Bentley should have been playing. That is a personnel decision mistake by Lane Kiffin, because at the end of the day, any and all offensive problems don't fall on Charlie Weiss Jr. He's an easy scapegoat for everybody. Fans, me, Lane. It's Lane's offense. And Lane didn't want to play Ulysses Bentley. And the usage in the Egg Bowl shows that it was the wrong decision. Not personal, just about ball. It happens. But you didn't, what you thought was the end of the story, it wasn't. Another layer added because Ulysses Bentley was the MVP of the Egg Bowl. He did the things that Ole Miss fans have been saying he would be able to do if you gave him any play. It reminds me a lot, this version of Ulysses Bentley reminds me a lot of Bo Wallace. Bo will tell you this. Bo was not a good practice player. But when the lights came on, he balled. He competed his tail off. And there were certain limitations to Bo's game, especially when he hurt his shoulder in his final year and he couldn't throw it like he used to. He couldn't sling it. But that man would go, when the lights came on, he would go in there and he would compete his butt off and he would win. Ulysses Bentley, if this version of Ulysses Bentley is a bad practice player, but in games provides the one thing you've lacked all year, why did it take to the regular season finale to get over your own predetermined biases or dog house issues, whatever, and play him? Because he did the thing that most all Ole Miss fans said he would do if you gave him a chance. And look at everybody else. Dominique Thomas was 7 carries for 22 yards, a 3.1 yard per carry average. Micah Davis, 8 carries, the third most on the team, behind only Bentley and Jackson Dart, for 18 yards, 2.3 yards per carry. Jackson Dart had 13 for 77. The run game, for the first time this year, against an opponent that really matters, won the game. And it's because you led with Ulysses Bentley, even though you didn't want to. You started with Micah Davis. Even if it was just forcing your hand, or you saying, you know what, screw it, fine. Y'all want to see him? There he goes. Like you would do with John Rhys Plumlee. Sometimes pride cometh before the fall. Thank goodness the fall didn't come in a loss to the Egg Bowl, in the Egg Bowl, because 8-4 in this season would have been absolutely disastrous. And even at 9-3, this doesn't feel like Ole Miss going to the Cotton Bowl. This doesn't feel like Ole Miss right there on the fringe of breaking it. It feels like disappointment across the board. The defense was good all year. Was good all year. Good enough in the Egg Bowl. State did some things against this defense that haven't been done all year. But, you know, I got to give the defense a little bit of slack in how they played. I mean, it was a slog to start. And the offense was doing what the offense does. Everything looked so hard. The defense buckled down and does what it typically does. Meanwhile, on the offensive side, against a defense in Mississippi State ranked 132nd in tackles for loss per game, Ole Miss couldn't protect Jackson Dart. They couldn't get any push in the interior of the offensive line. Gave up 2 sacks. State had 8 tackles for loss, the same as Ole Miss, and that number one ranked defense that came into this game, or at least I think still, I haven't checked lately, came into this game ranked number one in all of college football in sacks and tackles for loss. They matched you because it wasn't ever about Ulysses Bentley. It was misevaluations and scouting for the offensive line. I appreciate that Ole Miss ran Jeremy James out there and tried him at right guard. It was better than whatever Jerquan Scott gave them last week against Florida. But Micah Pettis, the same reasoning, awarding production, playing the best players. We're not trying to lose football games. That's what Lane said to me. And I said, of course you're not. But it's not consistently applied across the board. If Micah Pettis is going out there making mistake after mistake, drive-hurting penalty, put in Jeremy James. He can play right tackle. You're starting right tackle for 2 years. I'm glad to see him at guard. But all of the questions that you thought you were over, Lane, with Ulysses Bentley, you just created more because he did what we expected him to do. No, he doesn't look the same. I give you a ton of credit for acknowledging that. He's not quite the player he was, but I'll take a B-plus or B-minus Ulysses Bentley, because that guy can still break an 89-yarder, the longest in the SEC this season, second longest for Ole Miss, ahead of only Ulysses Bentley, Bentley's other carry of 50 yards against LSU. Because none of the other ones, even your gimmick Micah Davis, your wide receiver 4 or 5, who you said was a better option, can't break free like he can. He looked like we expected him to. So, of course, he gets the first helmet sticker. Second helmet sticker is going to go to Jackson Dart, 14 for 24, 143, a touchdown. He carried 13 times for 77 yards. Wasn't a good game for him, but he deserves credit for one of the greatest Ole Miss careers ever for a quarterback. In this game, passed Eli Manning for the holy grail of Ole Miss records, career passing yards. He passed Eli. Eli's jersey cannot be worn on the field anymore. Retired. And Jackson passed him, cleared him. He deserves a ton of credit for coming here, dealing with what he dealt with. Because a lot of what Ulysses dealt with this year, Jackson Dart was dealing with after year one. Even going into, going into year one, competing against Luke Altmyer. And then after that season, whenever Jackson was done, they went and got Spencer Sanders and Walker Howard. And make no mistake, and this is as well sourced as it gets, they were essentially trying to replace Jackson Dart. They didn't care who won. They just wanted the best quarterback. They weren't committed to Jackson Dart. And Jackson Dart buckled down, went to work, and then became one of the greatest Ole Miss quarterbacks ever. Regardless of the disappointing nature of this season, this regular season, 9-3, and now hoping that a bunch of stuff breaks your way to make the playoff, Jackson Dart has had a tremendous Ole Miss career. He wasn't Ole Miss's first option in recruiting that year. Remember, after Matt Corral left, the first person with Jeff Lebby still here as offensive coordinator, and today finishes 2-10, 0-8 in his first season at Mississippi State. That's tough. But Jeff Lebby, before he left for Oklahoma in that offseason, was going to bring Dylan Gabriel here. Then Dylan Gabriel, once Jeff left, was no longer an option. They pursued Cam Ward. I talked to Cam Ward when he was on campus. Now he's a Heisman candidate for Miami. They decided, he's not the right fit. Or maybe they kind of knew because his former, I think, head coach, at least one of his coaches at Incarnate Word, was now the offensive coordinator of Washington State. He probably wasn't coming here. But that wasn't all. They had Caleb Williams, who's now starting for the Bears, on the phone, and Lane was himself individually recruiting Caleb Williams to come. But ultimately, Caleb went to USC, Jackson Dart gets in the portal, and the rest is history. And now we get to this place, the end of his Ole Miss regular season run. At least one game remains, probably the Cap One Bowl. But Jackson Dart, he dealt with some of that stuff too, and all he did was go to work. And so you can say whatever you want to about the bad throw against Florida, the two interceptions in 2 minutes, whatever it was, the triple coverage throw once they came across midfield, had all your timeouts. That was bad. That was bad, no doubt about it. But it doesn't wipe away the unique, incredible story that is Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, that this is where he made his mark, made history. I am never going to speak badly about Jackson Dart. Now, we can talk about, as far as just ball goes, how Ole Miss has maybe more upside in terms of deep ball passing ability and efficiency with Austin Simmons at quarterback. And if it's only one game, if they only get the Cap One Bowl, yeah, it's time to look at Austin Simmons a little bit more. And it's not personal. But Jackson Dart, you deserve a ton of credit because he dealt with it. He dealt with the same things that we're talking about that is embodied in Ulysses Bentley this whole season, this disappointing regular season. And forever and always, two things can be true. Ole Miss fans can appreciate 9-3, the historic nature of it, right? Because we remember what it used to be like. We remember 2-10 under Houston Nutt. We remember Northwestern State, Ed Orgeron. We remember all of that. But Lane Kiffin came here not to be good, be great. He said it himself. And they are on the precipice of being great. They are great in terms of overall operation, but the Georgia win felt like a turning point. That was the first time. He's won big games. Penn State, Kentucky was ranked with Will Levis. Indiana was ranked number 11 in the country in the Outback Bowl. He's won, quote, big games. But we all know what big game he needed to win, that signature SEC win, and he got it against Georgia. It felt like a turning point, only for Florida to happen, all the bad things rear their heads again. Yes, it's disappointing. You said to not believe in moral victories and to believe that Ole Miss is supposed to win these games. Well, they do now. So they're going to be disappointed in 9-3, even with the historical context of what Ole Miss is or used to be. But these last 5 years of contention, even with the 5-5 year in COVID extrapolated out, make for the best run in modern history and the best opportunity for Ole Miss to not only break through. They have broken through. They're there. But self-inflicted nonsense, like not playing Ulysses Bentley, when it's obvious you have no good options other than him, that costs you a chance potentially at making the college football playoff, when if you look at the all-22s in college football, you have one of the top five in college football. It doesn't make sense. So they can say, yeah, 9-3, awesome, Lane. You be here forever. You've been awesome. If this is it, always right there, competing with a chance to compete for a national championship, that's all Ole Miss ever wanted. We remember it back too when we'd say, well, if Ole Miss can just like get that Arkansas formula, you win 6-7 games for 2 years, you get that veteran-laden team for year three, and then you really go for it. You don't have to do that anymore. Portal is free agency, and they're going to crush the portal again. They're going to crush recruiting. They're operating at an elite level across the board. Deuce Knight, the five-star in-state quarterback, the number two prospect in Mississippi, only behind Caleb Cunningham, the five-star wide receiver who flipped to Ole Miss from Bama after the Georgia game. He was on campus again today. And if you've been reading the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com and Affiliate of On Three, you know what I've been writing about Deuce Knight, how real the momentum is, but if he doesn't show up for the Egg Bowl. Well, he did show up for the Egg Bowl. So now it's a full-on race to signing day. It's Ole Miss or Auburn, and Ole Miss has been there the whole time. And a win's a win's a win. It doesn't have to look great. But imagine a competition of Austin Simmons and Deuce Knight next year, next spring, what that might look like. Lane deserves all the credit in the world for what Ole Miss is now, a legit contender. Legit contenders that hurt themselves and lose by a combined 6 points to two of your opponents. And then the other one, well, 13 points in three games. It's on you. And they can be disappointed. I get why they're disappointed. But you do deserve where Ole Miss is. Now let's hope that things fall the way for Ole Miss that, like they need to get into the playoffs to maybe salvage what should have been the year. But it's not like Ole Miss is done, folks. This last dance stuff was so misguided and silly. If you look, they're recruiting to bring Chris Poupall back. He's a top four round graded linebacker right now, prospect for the NFL draft. So he probably goes, but there's a chance at least that Chris Paul comes back. And what a huge lift he was. He gets one of my helmet stickers as well, as I'm looking at the defensive statistics, which weren't great, but Chris Poupall, second on the team, 6 total tackles, 4 solos, a sack, a tackle for loss, and the interception that helped turn the game. 2 for Ole Miss. In that game, Trey Washington got another. Walter Nolan, you deserve a helmet sticker too. 8 total tackles to lead the team, 1.5 sacks, 3.5 tackles for loss, a one-man wrecking crew. And I'll give Caden Davis one as well, even though, you know, kickers don't get the love they necessarily should. He deserves it because they had to rely on him again. And he made one from 39 and one from 43. He missed from 54. But Caden Davis, it was tough for him earlier in the year. Those are the helmet stickers. And Chris Poupall, he gets one of them. He could come back. What a lift he's been, not just from his production, but from his leadership in the locker room. What that would mean for some Taron Perkins, having him to be his running mate next year beside an offense or defensive line that's going to be young, but make no mistake, they're young, but they're just a younger version, ideally, at least Pete Golding crafted them this way, of what you saw this year. William Echols was a freshman midseason All-American, according to On3. Maybe should have played him more, but then Walter Nolan, I mean, come on. Is he going to take his snaps away? But he's the guy next year with Xavier Harris who returns. You have building blocks. This isn't a rebuild. This isn't, oh, well, we've got to fall back down for 2 years, win 6-7 games. No, they should be right in the 9.5. I think 8.5 will probably be the line set for their win total next year. This is the exact same season we expect them to have, to be in every game, to be able to beat every team they play, win every game. It doesn't change. Look at the building blocks. Juice Wills has had a disastrous transfer year coming in from South Carolina. He needs to come back and a lot like Luke Hill in baseball, make things right across the board. He dropped two touchdowns the last 2 weeks against Florida that receivers supposedly of his ilk make. They make those plays. If you go watch the NFL, those are plays you have to make if you want to stick on a roster. He has nowhere to go but to stay here and get better and make things right, because Florida, he dropped a touchdown, and then tonight, the Egg Bowl, the fourth Egg Bowl win in the last 5 years for Ole Miss, used to be all that mattered, and man, keep it going. But also, Juice dropped another one. He needs to come back. He could be a building block. The first thing I thought when he dropped that one too was, well, Aiden Williams would have had it. That's probably being snarky. And if it is, forgive me, but that's the first thing I thought, because, again, the answer with Ulysses Bentley is what? Lane has his guys, and if you get in his doghouse, it's impossible to get out. I think Aiden's, I don't know, doghouse, whatever it is, he's not one of Lane's guys, and Juice Wells is, for whatever reason. If a guy like that isn't producing, why not try others? Unless you are stubborn to your own evaluations. Well, that's fine, but then we can say, well, that evaluation was a miss. You missed. You missed on running back recruiting. Maybe you should have paid Quinshon, or maybe you should have just played Ulysses Bentley, given him more carries, because he was more of a game player than practice player. He's not as explosive as he used to be. So what? So what? He's the best of the options you have, and you can't convince me that Juice deserves all the snap share, the high snap share he's gotten all year. Never taken out for poor performance. And I asked Lane specifically about Juice last week in his disappointing year, and he himself said this.
I was curious, Lane, about Juice Wells, just your evaluation of his year and kind of what you've seen out of him as he's come back from injury and what he's brought to the offense.
It's a lot easier questions when we win.
True.
it is amazing. Catch a ball at the end, you know, make a stop. Win a game, questions are a lot easier. Anyway, Juice... I think he'd be the first to tell you, you know, has had some kind of ups and downs this year and, you know, missed all of spring and training camp and, you know, so I think he'd be the first to tell you it's been a really up and down year for him.
When Ulysses Bentley is up and down, he doesn't play. When Juice Wells is up and down and his high number that he signed with the Grove Collective in an NIL deal that you convinced Ole Miss fans you had to have a guy like that, he keeps playing despite hurting your team. I'm just asking for consistency across the board with this here. Or don't get in your feelings if someone goes, that was a bad evaluation. Football isn't that complicated, Lane. And the worst thing for your argument against Ulysses Bentley was to let him get 20 carries and do what he does. Because it isn't that complicated. And unfortunately, a lot of pride and stubbornness, not just from Lane, but from other people as well, really made it feel like a 9-3 that should have been 11-1. Of course, they're going to be disappointed. I hope Ole Miss squeaks in. But the fact that they're in this position is bad enough on its own. Clemson has no business being ranked 12th. We all agree with that. They haven't beaten anyone. No one. But it shouldn't be about this. Ole Miss beat Mississippi State. That was the first thing on the checklist. Texas needs to beat Texas A&M. You need Vanderbilt to beat Tennessee. You need the ACC to become a one-bid league. This is from Cade Smith on Twitter. I appreciate him compiling this. And then for South Carolina to beat Clemson, because that's your best win, and it's a good win. But the fact that that win is one of your very best wins this year, that one in Georgia, negated by the worst loss in modern history, one of as far as consequential nature of it, to Kentucky, worse than 4th-and-25 ever was. Clemson, of course, shouldn't be ranked ahead of you, but now you've left it, or you did leave it last week, and still this week with no style points in the Egg Bowl, 26-14. Ole Miss win. That's the result that matters, but you're leaving it up to stuffy old men in suits. But Ole Miss isn't going anywhere. Maybe they're not going anywhere, not going to the place in the postseason all of us expected. Hopefully so. Probably like the Cap One Bowl. But they're not going anywhere. This wasn't a last dance. Now it's time to talk about other personnel decisions. That's why it's more than reasonable to say, okay, where are the need areas for Ole Miss? Number one thing I'm going to be doing starting tomorrow is reaching out to Deion Smith. I know. It's like Bigfoot, right? But there's rumors I've heard that he's trying to get eligible to enroll in January. But again, he's enrolled. We've been through this movie before. I'm not trying to get your hopes up, but maybe cutting bait with that pursuit to go get so-and-so. There's all kind of things we need to talk about now because Ole Miss is at that competitive place where we can be disappointed at 9-3. And no one should take it personal. It's just business. This has been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. The Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, and Fleet of On 3. Sign up today. I'm there all day, every day, as is Zach Berry, Chuck Ronsville, Billy and Body, Jake Thompson. $1, as low as you want to sign up with the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com. Just $1, the lowest price. We've been in here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top. Riverland Roofing is doing more than most anyone else in the Ole Miss NIL space. So support them. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297 for all your roofing needs. I will see you next week because recruiting is now the most important thing. Portal recruiting. Deuce Knight, does he flip from Ole Miss to Auburn? He was in attendance for the Egg Bowl. There's so many things we're now going to follow as Ole Miss hopes to take a step up from the disappointing things mostly caused by pride or stubbornness at best in a 9-3 24-25 season. You're never going to complain about 9-3, but you're never going to throw a friggin' parade for one either. You got to understand that distinction, Lane. I'll see y'all next week.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.